You're listening to The OK Show, a podcast brought to you by The Current.
Everybody's got their something.
We all are crazy. Like, we're all crazy, and it's okay to be crazy. So let's all talk about it so we can be less crazy.
As people who struggle with mental health issues, that's like the most common feeling.
But I think that there has to be a point where you allow yourself to be vulnerable, be sad, be hurt.
Even if it's a sad subject matter, there's something that's really life-affirming in that process of listening to music that moves you.
How about we all stay alive so you can continue to make great music? How about we all just stay alive?
Hey, how's it going? I'm Andrea Swenson, and you are listening to The OK Show, a podcast where real musicians talk about their real lives. So today's episode of The OK Show is a little different because this is actually a live recording from back in April at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. It was terrifying to stand up in front of, 200, 250 people and do one of these episodes live, but it ultimately ended up being this really beautiful experience. It was part of an event put on by NPR called Imagine Wellness, a day of talking about mental health and the arts over at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. And the audience was just so willing to go along on the ride with us. You know, a lot of times this show is completely unscripted, completely unplanned. We never know exactly where the conversation is going to end up. And to do that live is a little nerve-wracking, but I think it turned out really, really well. Thanks almost entirely to the charm of my guest, POS, who was just an absolute delight. He was so willing to do this and so willing to open up and be raw and vulnerable in that space. So I cannot wait to share this episode with you. It's a little bit longer than usual, but that's because it also includes a special performance of POS's song Sleep Drone Superposition, a 9-minute song which he performed live for the audience. So here we go. Without further ado, today's OK Show episode featuring POS.
Yeah, first and second gears are out, the car won't. Win no race, get out of my face. The dude behind me hates my brakes, I just might park it. Get out and start this, get out and walk till I run out my heart. Let's not fall apart right now, let's all just sit the fuck down. It ain't my day, it ain't my year, but that ends right here. Let's yes, more no, let's get blessed up, let's get control, let's get these ways. Same as it ever was, same as it ever was. Blame every other one, set up the better ones anyway.
Hello. I'm terrified. So, as Jeff said, I work at The Current. I've been a music journalist in the Twin Cities for about 11 years now. I started in print media and came to The Current about 4 years ago. And over the last year, I started a podcast called The OK Show. So what is The OK Show? Well, I came up with the name kind of tongue-in-cheek, like it's not that awesome, but it's okay. I have self-esteem issues, clearly. But I was thinking about the interviews that I'd been doing with musicians that I really enjoyed, and the ones that really hit home for me are the ones where we talked about real things. And that's kind of a vague description, but it was where we got past the kind of surface level, like when's your record coming out, where do you record it, kind of the technical aspects of what it means to be a musician, and actually got into what it was, you know, in their lives that was inspiring them, influencing them, and leading them to write personal things and share it with the world and what that meant. For me, I have a long history and familiarity with mental health issues. I have a general anxiety disorder and struggle with depression. And that's that. And it became clear to me over the years that the thing that didn't help with those aspects of my life was not talking about it, and I was really good at not talking about it, starting from childhood on. But one thing that did help was the musicians that I felt were talking to me and didn't make me feel alone. So I started thinking about, well, what is it like from their perspective to share these things with the world, to get up on stage night after night and say this over and over and over again? You know, this person broke my heart. I can get over this. I have been through darkness. What is that like to open yourself up in that way? And how can music make things okay? So that's basically the podcast. There's not really a format. So thank you for your patience as we just have a conversation today. I don't have a ton of pre-prepared questions or anything, but I'm really excited to talk to today's guest. He is an artist who I have definitely related to on that deep heart level since discovering his music a while ago now. And I've followed him throughout his career and been really inspired by him and what he does. For my money, I think POS is one of the best songwriters in the Twin Cities. And I think that he has created his own space in the hip-hop world as an artist who can not only express, confidence and anger and boldness and all these things that we associate with that genre, but also vulnerability and hurt and what does that mean, and really contemplating, you know, all these big questions in life. So I'm so glad that he agreed to do this, and I'm going to bring him up now. We're actually going to hear some music from him, too, so we're really in for a treat. So please welcome POS. Hi.
Hi.
So I introduced you as POS, but we should also say that you are known as Steph Alexander.
Yeah, to anybody that knows me and most of my actual fans, if they're trying to like get my attention.
So we have a lot to talk about today because you have been through, I guess the only way I can describe it is an ordeal over the last few years with your health.
Total super ordeal.
Super ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get there, we're going to talk all about that and your new song and everything. I have a question for you about your life as in music. Do you remember the first song that you heard that related to you and you felt like you could relate back to it?
I actually recently realized that I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit on the radio, like waking up for school as a little kid, and don't even remember anything except for hearing it, brushing my teeth, and like listening to it. And then the other day, rereading, I have like a big giant pile of Spin magazines and Rolling Stones from when I was a kid. I remember rereading an interview with Kurt Cobain and then being like, oh man, this is just all exactly what I just said in the last interview I did. Like,
really?
Apparently, like, so much of my ethics and like ideals and like my personal rules for music just subconsciously seeped in from being obsessed with Nirvana as a young kid. You know, like saying,
subconsciously.
Yeah, saying no to every opportunity and never. Never wanting to like sell out and only doing like the most aggressive stuff. I really think a lot of that came from like skateboard culture and Nirvana. I think even getting into punk rock in the first place is probably because of that.
Huh, that's interesting.
It is. I didn't realize it till like a couple days ago. I was talking to somebody about it.
Do you remember what he was saying in the interview that really related?
You know, if it's not necessarily true as much anymore, but if you want to take music seriously, if you want to appear to be a serious person about music, there are rules that people don't know unless you, you know, get into it. You can't, I mean, nowadays, people don't buy music, so you have to reach out for, like, corporate money if you're going to do, like, a big thing. But when I was growing up, the last thing you want is corporate money for anything.
Right.
You know? And it's just, you can't not really anymore. And if you do, you're like me and you live pretty modest.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you have your music in a commercial recently?
I did. I had a bunch this last year. Me and Doomtree ended up in a bunch of commercials and video games and stuff like that. I actually had an old song, like an old like protest song. The beat is in an Adidas commercial for the guy who is like the star Adidas soccer guy right now. And then I had to go on Reddit and explain to my curious fans why it was okay that I, you know, license this song out.
Were they upset?
Some of them were, and I was basically like, buy a record. Tell your friends to buy music. If you tell your friends to buy music, then we don't have to sell our songs to other people. Like, they paid me what a lot of record sales would have been, and I wouldn't have even been interested in doing that if I had sold those records. You know?
Right.
Musician was a job because of the Paradise City Guns N' Roses video, where it's like a time lapse of a feat, like a stadium. Trucks pull up, unload equipment, build a stage, band plays a show, you know, and it's all like a time lapse thing. And I was like, that's a job. Those are guys setting something up. There's labor going on. This is work, you know. And I think subconsciously in my head, it was like, that's the thing people do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I did.
Yeah.
You know, I stole my cousin's bass guitar because it was always sitting in the corner and he never ever plays with it. So I took that in fourth or fifth grade, opened it up, bought a soldering iron, figured out how to fix it. Didn't realize you needed an amp for another 2 years. Like, you know, like just bashing on things, trying to teach myself how to make sounds. No, I think as soon as I realized that I could dedicate myself to music, I did. My mom told me super early too, because there was times where she'd catch me with a little tape recorder and a football helmet and some drumsticks, just like bashing on it, recording it, talking to myself, putting blank tapes in one side of her karaoke machine, and then, you know, playing acoustic guitar, or playing something, and then switching the tape to the other side and putting a different tape in and like kind of making like a makeshift four track where every layer that you put on top sounds way worse than the last one, but you're at least able to like practice recording, you know, using a dual cassette tape.
Do you still have those tapes?
I have some of them. I actually transcribed one of them because the lyrics are so funny, but I'll hit you in the head with a piece of cornbread, dude, is was definitely rapped by me as a fifth grader.
So I'm really interested in the idea of music as catharsis. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you can tell me at that time as a teenager, what do you think you're getting out of playing music?
From like fifth grade up until, you know, mid junior high, it's all Nirvana covers and, you know, Black Flag and Minor Threat covers until I'm writing songs, but I'm not writing any lyrics. It's just a matter of like, this is how you write songs, and I'll just freestyle whatever at the show. Because to me, it was always make music so you can play shows. Mm. You know, I didn't start making music to like make myself feel stuff until way later. At first, it was like, man, I want to perform. What am I going to perform? We got to have a band.
What was it like for you to get up on a stage and play at that age?
Good. I think anybody who has that urge, I don't know, for me anyway, I can't speak to everybody because a lot of people do hate performing. I feel more comfortable halfway through the first song than I do since the last time I was on stage. Mm. You know, I get to like be all the way fully me, and it's not weird because I'm the artist up there. And if it is weird, it's funny. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever my mood is, it's going to be fine because I'm in a performance mode, and then I can get off stage and be goofy while I'm still sweaty, and as I dry off, I'll calm down and then sneak out and go home.
What happens after you perform? Do you crash?
I don't crash. I've been doing it long enough to like know how to manage. I don't know. I'm so into performing and so into just like doing my job and getting that comfort, and that it's not a crash. It's like, now I'm tired, or now I'm going to use this juice from that show to have the greatest night of my life. You know, like, there's never a point where I get off stage and I'm like, that show was terrible. Ah. You know, I don't care that much about how the show went as much as, you know, that I did it. You know? Like, yeah, being in a crew with all the other dudes in Doomtree, you know, there are times where I am legitimately embarrassed because I have forgotten lyrics to my part of the song, and I don't care at all, but I look around and everybody's like, dude, we're pros. Learn your music. You know, and I'm like, sorry, okay. I feel like I've made my personality come through in my music and in my performance. You know, like whenever I make a mistake or something like that, people who have seen me a few times will be like, Steph. People who haven't seen me will be like, why doesn't this guy know his music? Yeah. But I don't make huge mistakes all the time. Little mistakes all the time. Go? Yeah, okay. Could I get some more of that in the old head Dulls. Cans? A little more of the drums and whatnot? Yeah. I am POS. I'll be the new generation of slaves here to make papes off this land corporations rape. From that life I'm trying to separate, but I guess I'm living dreams because my rent's always a month late. Product of an East German black who kissed the neck of a pretty woman named Grace. But he left my life just a little too soon. Didn't see me catch the doom tree fame. As we go a little something like this. Look, mom, no protection. Now I got a baby boy by the name of Jake. And I've been trying to play the cowboy to rustle in the dough. And I think I'm getting better every passing day.
That kind of leads into a question I had for you. Because I think about the worlds that you came up in, hip-hop and punk. Mm-hmm. Both very egocentric,
mm-hmm.
macho, I would say even. But you have kind of carved out this path as someone that isn't like that, is more, can express a wide range of emotions, can be vulnerable on stage, mm-hmm. can be real,
yeah.
okay with making mistakes.
Yeah.
Did you feel a pressure at any point to appear strong, or how did you kind of carve that path for yourself?
I don't know that I ever really even thought about it. I think that there's things I thought about later on, but I think coming into the hip hop scene at the time I did, the like battling, like the ego battling, freestyle battles, pretty much where you get up and listen to the same beat for 30 seconds and just kind of like talk trash about the other person. I just thought it was so stupid right off the bat. I was just like, this is totally useless, you know? And I think I was lucky enough that, you know, the main chunk of hip hop culture kind of felt like I did, you know, like these people are entertaining, but they don't make good songs. So that turned into its own world. The battle world is over there and people do that. But especially being from the Midwest, you know, like we are a pretty polite culture here, whether it's passive aggressive or not, like there is just a vibe where if you're not super macho, if you're not super aggressive and in people's face, nobody cares, you know? Like, there's a very small section of people who are like, no, it's done like this. The first serious rap group I was in was called See No Species, and there's one song on there that's like sort of personal, and the other rapper in the group was like, why would you write that? And I was like, what? You know, and he was like, why would you say something so personal? That's something somebody can come at you and talk trash about in a battle. And I was like, well, I don't battle and I don't care. You know, like the music I listen to bears its heart. If pressed, I am tough. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't need to act like anything.
Right.
And people don't press it, so it's fine.
Well, you mentioned the Midwest. I mean, we're not actually that great at talking about feelings.
So. No, we're not great at talking about anything. And I'm a lyric writer. Mm-hmm. That is my job.
Mm-hmm.
And in my day-to-day life, I don't say anything to anyone about anything ever, to the point where it's like destroyed all of my relationships at least once. You know, and I only put out a record like once every 3 years. Like, I'm like in here,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
until something drags something out, whether it's a relationship going south, my mom saying, what the hell is your problem, or it's time to make a record, you know? It's not tight.
So let's talk more about health.
Okay.
When did you know that something was wrong with your physical health?
I think I got a physical somewhere around the end of my time in high school. And they were like, I was probably 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there. And it was like, got a physical in my urine. They're like, there's tons of extra protein. That is indicative of kidney problems in your future. Here's some tests. All right, we're right. Here's some medicine. Take this every day. Everything's cool. So I had a vague awareness of it from late teens, but you don't feel kidney problems. They don't hurt. You know, it's like one of those things where you look in a mirror every day. You don't see yourself looking different until you look at a picture from a few years ago, right?
Right.
So I was supposed to go on tour, went to the doctor, my nephrologist, and she was just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Your kidney function is 7%. You need to come back here tomorrow to start learning about how dialysis works. You know, and I was like, cool. And she's like, not cool. And she like sat me down and like made me cry. And I was like, what? I didn't even do anything. Like, I don't feel bad, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had to like learn about how dialysis works. There's two kinds. One, they take out all your blood, clean it, put it all back. And I was lucky enough to be young enough and otherwise healthy enough to do the one where you do it at home. They don't you don't take your blood out at all. You just put a little hole in your stomach with a plastic tube, and then you pretty much, I said it, you put like a 2 liter of Gatorade in your abdomen, and then it sucks all the toxins out of your blood, and then you dump it out in a bag.
Well,
and then you do it again. So I was always, your abdomen is empty. There's guts, but people think there's just blood and stuff wherever. But after you get through skin, muscle, there's blood in there. There's another thing, and then you just go to your abdomen, which is empty except for your gooey organs. So there's tons of room in there for weird juice that sucks toxins out of your blood. Anyway, that was the one that I did.
This is the best medical talk I've ever heard.
And it was really, really a horrible pain in the ass. And it was super miserable, but I didn't really know how to look at it as that until it was happening. I was totally ready to continue touring. I was setting up tour, tickets were on sale, and it was just a matter of like, man, can I afford to do this?
Mm.
You know? Yes, I can. Let's keep going. You know, manager, all of my friends, like, stop, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, no, we put the, you know, 1,200 pounds of dialysis solution in the back of the trailer, and then we get a bigger trailer, and we just take a day off a week, and we set up in hotel rooms and make sure the air is still, and then we can just do this. We're just doing this. And everybody's like, we're not doing this. Cut it out.
Yeah.
So for like the first time since I was 14, I like stopped. And then it was just like watching Netflix. I'm like pissed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me more about what that feels like, because I think we think about physical health and mental health as being separate things, but they're totally dependent on each other. So what went on when you became so sick that you had to stop doing all of this?
In my day-to-day life, it was, you know, it was my closest people to me being like, hey, can I get you some water? And me being like, no, get the fuck out of my house, you know? Sorry, yes, I need some water. I'm dying, you know, help me. And I don't know, that was my biggest struggle, is allowing myself to realize that, you know, I can't do everything. I can't do anything, you know? I had decided somewhere in my life that anything that I wanted to do, I could do at any time, and I was going to, and anybody that thought that I couldn't, did not deserve to be anywhere near me, you know? Like, I was just, you know? And then for my doctor to be like, my doctor, my manager, all my friends to be like, shut up, dude, sit down. You're gonna take 3 years off. I don't know that I'm the most super stable dude anyway. I'm a solid rock, great ear for my friends, but like, I don't know what I'm doing with myself ever. So sitting down and taking like 3 years where I'm not making songs and getting on the road and running around and distracting myself 100% of the time was pretty brutal, and it, you know, has taken a long time to try to get better at reaching out to my friends when I need something. And,
yeah,
you know, and just being an actual realized human. I don't know. I named that one record "We Don't Even Live Here," and that was, people take the name of that record however they want, but when I wrote that record and what I was saying with the title "We Don't Even Live Here" is like, the world is a terrible place and people are horrible, and I have decided that I am not a part of that.
Yeah.
You know? Which is really motivating and really helpful if you do that within reason, you know? But if you don't communicate with anybody and you just spin out, then everything you say sounds crazy and you can't relate to anybody because you're looking at the world that you live in and exist in as a totally separate existence from you specifically. I don't know. I detached myself so hard from my friends and from the actual world that it's really hard to find a way to like re-enter the planet and not feel like a Martian, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I am right now, is like halfway burnt, flying through space, headed toward the ocean.
So do you want to live here now?
I have to. I have to. This is mentally and physically. I live in Minnesota. I have real live friends with names that know my name and know what my life is,
yeah.
You know? So to act like I live on a different planet and the rules of life and health and happiness don't apply to me at all isn't healthy, you know? It worked really well for a few years, but then, and it really did, it, you know, I had a lot of hang-ups. The stuff that you worry about in your life really held me down for, you know, most of my adult life until maybe 2009, where I kind of feel like I shed everything, but too much, to where I did just fly out there, and it was just gone.
So tell me about not being able to create art when you were sick.
I couldn't. And, well, first of all, writing lyrics, or really writing anything, sucks. I don't know if you've ever done it, but writing is a pain in the ass.
I write every day, and hard.
Oh, I hate it. And if I know that I'm not going to be able to perform anything, it's like homework. It's like, why would I make songs? I can't do anything. I can't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't leave my house. It takes all of the effort in the world to walk a block to this coffee shop. Why would I make a song about how horrible I feel? You know, when I make songs that are about how horrible I feel, it's about how horrible I feel because the world treats me and my friends bad, or because money ain't fair, or because things that are tangible that you can grab onto and be like, this is how I feel about this, this is why. But if I'm just like, my stomach hurts, my stitches hurt, my scar itches, how do I say that? Cool. You know? I can't walk. My girlfriend has to help me pee. Like, none of that shit needs to be in a rap song. You know? So that's frustrating, and it, you know, kind of adds to like the hole I was in there. You know, and I remember reading about Tupac talking about how he couldn't write when he was in prison. And that's, you know, not the same kind of thing, but it is the same kind of thing. You know, like, I wasn't in prison, but I was in my little apartment with no visitors because I had driven everybody off. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, just sitting there like, oh, man, is this even worth it? You'd think that after having a kidney transplant where I literally needed somebody else's kidney, it would be easy to be like, hey, help me out. I'm a little bummed.
Yeah.
But I have a very hard time with that.
So you wrote this song.
I did.
It's 9 minutes long.
It is.
You had a lot to say because it had been a little over 3 years since you'd put out solo material.
Yep.
And we're going to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Waiting for nothing, I just show up to shine. That I don't show at all, sit at home and unwind. They continue, they frontin', they keep ignoring the signs. Ain't shit out there, I'm hunting everything in its time. And that's right now, that bright black with a shark tongue and the piece crack. And he bites back with shark teeth and he eats that. That black blocker that can't stop when the coppers creep. And I don't show up, I'm trash talk, I'm fuck peace. I'm Chris Dorner, I'm Doberman Dirty, off leash. I'm Mike Brown, I'm Eric Garner, I can't breathe. We face down, our teeth are touching the concrete. They curb stomping us, wearing a crown in our streets. Shit, it makes that bullshit trivial. Gave a lot of trust and some years to some miserable. Castle made of sand, heavy hand holding shovels. And trouble man counts his real friends on his hook stump. Yeah, I used to spend a lot of thought on loss. I used to need for every feeling amplified too. You probably learned early it's better to be hated. And I hate whoever taught you that. I'm happy to have learned from you. Same page, different book. Weird, hard feelings, soft hearts overlooked, but not here. That whole veneer 2020 clear. Keep my warnings out your people's ear. Try to let them steer for themselves. Yeah, water and bridges, hurricanes, and trying to rebuild visions. Pick a pain, I'm sure that I got limits, but fuck it, I'm making decisions till I'm dead and re-risen as energy. Trying to exist in superposition. Trying to exist in superposition. Trying to exist in superposition. Yeah. Show up to shine, show me a sign. Oh wow, oh yeah. Show up to shine, show me a sign. Oh wow, oh yeah. Show up to shine, show me a sign. This one's Lemon. Anybody? Show up to shine, show me the sign. Aw. Yeah?
Beautiful.
Yeah! Try to write a note to everyone who came out and supported when my kidney couldn't clean up my poisonous blood. But I just stared at the page. And when I wrote it, I felt nothing but the numbing your cliche and tasted nothing but batteries and iron all over my tongue. Word rusted in pace. And all I want is to chisel my initials into something permanent now. Yeah, and raise up these damn kids and make my mama so fucking proud. And mutilate a couple crowds. Yeah, and all I want is to make art keep takes break. What they said is fakes run the game and your boy ain't playing it. Nah, there ain't no sense in this haze. If it's up to me, I'll keep the questions in my frequency and throw them off. And from now until the coffin calls them and spit wherever cops be walking. Yeah. If it's up to me, the only people in the streets with guns lead communities are a hunt for food they need to fight through. Maybe peacefully, yeah. But that's a big maybe. There's more than one way to skin Schrodinger's cat. Not sure what's holding you back. There's nothing seriously stopping us getting blown off the map, oh yeah. Trying to exist in superposition. Called me Buster and gutted me at the finish. And then it ended, only clean break ever. And I love her more now, probably cause of that. In the black, I miss a writer who never quite took my edits. Built a pedestal taller than she could let it. And I love her more now cause of that. Infinite slack, I tied my own rope. She took it back instead, in the red. Balancing books and pre-cum promises. When love is mean enough to go where it's not wanted and fuck up a good, simple, and sweet. Bliss, repeat, campsite rules. Leave it better, hope it's better when you leave, yeah. Miss myself without these calluses. Only hate two and call them dad so that irony can cut through. I won't be at either funeral.
I don't need to see. I disrespect from gleefully and eat the pain, rage, and guilt. I keep it deep in me. Release my fist when my ashes hit the Pacific, and I'm infinitely swimming in the ether where the teachers be. Waves, thumbs up, sunglasses, emoji, peace. Trying to exist in superposition. Trying to exist in superposition. Trying to exist in superposition. Clocks show up to shine. Show me a sign. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, oh, yeah. Show up to shine. Show me a sign. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, yeah. Whoa. I ain't waiting for nothing. This pain is nothing. I be clutching my stomach, but this here is nothing. Scheming on what I wanted. This pain is nothing. Pumping through my vein is nothing. Nothing is what I'll take. Everything in its time, and nothing is what I'll ask for. Everything I will make. Ready them fucking drums, get ready to feel it shake. Better than being numb and better on the mistakes. Jay, who, yank, crime, on 10. Scream, super unison, superposition, dripping and dream like a hooligan. Live like dreams might be like real life. See them react, try to act how it feels right and go. Trying to exist in superposition. Trying to exist in superposition. Trying to exist in superposition. Clock ticking, keep, yeah, yeah. Show up, shine, show me the sign. Oh wow, oh wow, yeah. Oh yeah. Show up to shine, show me a sign. Oh wow, oh wow, yeah.
Thank you.
So in that song, we talked about superposition, which is quantum theory.
It's a, yeah.
We talked about police brutality.
A little bit.
Your kidney replacement and recovery. Your relationship with your parents.
Yep.
Your relationship with people you've been in relationships with.
Yep.
All in 9 minutes.
All in 9 minutes, yeah.
What was it like putting that together? Tell me the process a little bit.
I started it in January of 2015 by working on the beat and writing the first verse and slowly coming back to it and kind of taking all of the songs I wrote when I was sick, not all of them, but a good amount of the songs I wrote when I was sick, taking out the stupid things about all the stuff we talked about earlier that doesn't
fit. Itchy stitches.
Yeah, itchy stitches and, you know, that kind of stuff all came out. Just basic, I'm depressed about being sick stuff all kind of came out. And then I kind of scavenged it for like lines, words, ideas, topics. Started making these verses that were, you know, 90% original thought. And then the last 5%, I'd go back through my notes or old lyrics and grab little pieces that I thought were good and fitting for what's going on. The whole kidney part, I think that sums up a lot of the songwriting that I was trying to do, is like, because I'm not so good at, you know, opening up to my friends or asking for help when it's needed, my friends set up a donation site for me because I had all these medical bills, and then people were just leaving these comments all down, and people would be like, here's $2, and blah, 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 blah about this song of yours. There's hundreds of those, and my manager friend Mary wrote them all and put them in a book so I could like not be on the computer and I could like sit and flip through this stuff. And I was just crying. I'm like almost crying thinking about it now. Mm-hmm. I was just crying and crying and crying, hearing that my songs help people out or make them quit their jobs or, you know, do something tight with their life or like whatever it is. And I'm feeling all inspired and awesome. And then it's like trying to write a song that says thank you to people is just so stupid. It's not. It's a really sweet and good and solid thing to do, but how do you say thank you to 500 people at once without sounding totally cornball and insincere, you know? So writing about the struggle to say thank you totally is way more fitting than writing thank you, for me anyway. Like that's a lot of what that was, you know? And it's all the topics of the song, it kind of travels from this is where I've been, this is what's been going on mm-hmm. while I've been there. I don't know if people remember Chris Dorner, but Christopher Dorner in like 2013 or 2014 was a black cop in LA that like was like, this police station is corrupt, and then went on like a cop killing spree. He was a cop and they like burned him alive in a cabin in Northern California. Like it was like a whole intense, intense day that people all the way forgot about. So I kind of wanted to bring him in there as another one of these insane people, and then maybe two of the more famous black people that got shot by cops.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then moving through talking about relationships with friends that aren't my friends anymore to women that aren't my love anymore, you know, it's just travels everything I would have wanted to say in those 3 years I didn't put any music out, basically, over a really noisy, hard to listen to kind of beat. Kathleen Hanna is a straight up legend, period. I don't know if you guys know about Kathleen Hanna, but do your punk rock research. She, I don't know, I feel like she had a giant hand in every punk rock girl wearing boots and baby doll dresses and getting on stage and screaming at people. That's what I'm saying. Like,
totally.
Since you know, since just as influential as Nirvana to a different section of people. Very, very solid for women being included and important in punk rock. So look her up if you haven't. She blessed this song. She actually recorded a solid, like, 45 minutes worth of vocals for me to cut through. I ended up using like 20 seconds of it, but she is a G. And she, there's a documentary about her called The Punk Singer.
It's so good. I sobbed the whole way through.
Yeah, me too. And she had to stop performing, not in the same circumstances as me, but in very similar. She got sick and, you know, as an icon, everybody's like, where did she go? Where is her music? And she didn't want to talk about it because it's a hard, stupid thing to talk about, especially stuff like she had, like, Lyme disease, I want to say, and I had kidney. These are both things that people can't see, you know? My arm isn't dangling off. People can't be like, what's wrong? You know? They just see me slowly, over the course of years, getting more irritable, more forgetful, like, angry. Crazy.
Thank you for letting us into your world and telling us what was going on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
See what I mean about this guy?
Cool guys.
Be cool.
No, but I think what I was trying to say is people can't see the sicknesses that people can't see. It's and stuff that isn't like a famous sickness. It's really hard to even want to talk about.
Yeah.
It's hard enough for a guy like me to reach out for support for anything. But then when they can't like see, you know, I can't look in the mirror and be like, I'm dying. I can't see it, so my friends can't see it. So, you know, a lot of my closest friends didn't even know how to talk to me for a couple years, you know?
Right.
I don't know what I would have done either. So, it's weird.
Thank you for coming back down space and spending this time with us.
Thank you. You've been super supportive, so I would do this whenever.
Oh,
that's cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot to do some housekeeping.
Oh, do it.
So we should say today's program is supported by Health Partners and MakeItOkay.org. Also supported by the Minnesota Legacy Amendments Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and members of Minnesota Public Radio and MIA. Thank you so much for listening to The OK Show. Crush it, laugh at them all, hush, let them try to find the beauty in your face. Yeah, something more than a song, hating. Oh, come on, just let them try to find the beauty in the baseline. When the words don't change, we don't sing with what fade away. Yeah, we do our own damn thing, we don't blink at what tomorrow might bring at all. Back to the wall, crush it, laugh at them all, hush, let them try to find the beauty in your face. Yeah, something more than a song, hating. Oh, come on, just let them try to find the beauty in the baseline. When the words don't change, we don't sing with what fade away. Yeah, we do our own.